Hi everyone, good morning. It is Friday, October 23rd. We have Seeking Sustainability Live number 127 today with Jim Huang. And he is investing and helping with a company based in Singapore called Crest, making beer out of disused bread. So please stick around and we will be right back. Let's go. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining. We have Jim with us today. Jim, you're based in Osaka right now. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Thanks for joining today.
Good to be here.
Would you start by just briefly introducing yourself and how you got connected to this interesting project with Crest?
Yeah, sure. So I started my career in finance out of New York. Came out to Asia in Japan. Japan was my first destination back in 06. Spent a couple of years here before I got myself relocated to Singapore for 10 years. Thereafter, I've been quite busy expanding the markets in Southeast Asia, not only Singapore, but Thailand, Vietnam, Myanmar, and other frontier markets. Last year, I came across Crust, which is a Singapore-based R&D food tech. And I was fascinated with what Crust is doing. You know, I'm a person of sustainability. I like to drive profit with purpose. And what the mission of Crust really identified with what I believe in. And therefore, I felt, you know, I think this is an area where I can roll up my sleeves and also extend my network to help the mission of Crust. So, yeah, so it's been a very exciting journey for the last 8 months. The company started in April of 2019 in Singapore, started with two founders, Trevin and Ben, knocking on bakery stores, saying, hey, do you guys have any leftover bread that you want to give it to us? It entails a lot of hard work, waking up 5:30 in the morning, trying to arrange for those pickup scheduling and then bring them to our, manufacturing facility for production. So it's been we've grown from a team of two to now a team of six with a co-founder who is a woman leader joining us. So we're very excited about what's ahead of our journey.
That's great. So the basic concept of Crust, I'm showing pictures of the stale bread right now, is that you're collecting 30% of the grain replacement comes from stale bread from local bakeries. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we can substitute up to 50%. So it really depends on the amount of bread, the types of bread we get, the quality of the bread. But the goal here is to really use upcycle as much of that leftover ingredients to replace the existing raw materials. Not only does that do good for the environment, because every 3 kilo of food loss produces 23 kilo of greenhouse emission. So we try to maximize the resources that we have around us. But at the same time, from an economics perspective, it reduces our cost of capital. So we don't have to buy that additional 50% raw material because we're collecting those from the surplus bread or other ingredients from our suppliers.
Yeah.
So I think it's a win-win. It's a win-win for everyone. You know, from the supplier's perspective, they have to pay $50 per kilo to get rid of those food loss. And same thing here in Japan. We understand companies pay waste management to pick up their food loss. At the same time, we give these food loss a second chance for life. And then we reduce the cost of capital, which means the savings would go towards the consumers.
Yeah, it's a great, easy, it seems like an easy idea, but I'm sure it's more complicated in actuality. So you have to have staff, of course, who are contacting the bakeries. You say you pick it up on a daily basis and make the beer on a daily basis. So this format of picking up the stale bread, drying out the bread, crushing the bread, using it as part of the recipe, is this the same formula you're looking to use in Japan as well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think Japan is a much bigger market. And I think, you know, we will be looking at a regional approach. So that will focus more on Tokyo, Kansai, and Kyushu. And so, you know, we would work with local surplus ingredients in these regions. And then we look at factories that are close to the surplus ingredients so that we reduce the logistic cost and also reduce the carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. And you know, our goal is, you know, we want to localize the approach. So the materials that are produced in Kansai, we don't intend to ship those to other regions in Japan. You know, that will be locally produced, locally consumed in these markets.
Which is perfect for craft beer, because if you have a local area beer using local resources, local materials, that's kind of in line with the philosophy of craft beer. So it seems to work really well. I read a little bit about the founder, Trevin, and how he learned home brewing from YouTube. And then got so passionate about it and got so many good ideas from using old bread that he went to London. And then he went to how many breweries in California? Like 15 in 1 month or something? 11?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So he's really into it. And then what was the reason to bring this to Japan? What was the incentive?
Well, I think, you know, we were looking at sort of the biggest market on food loss in the region. Obviously, you know, Singapore produces about 6 to 7 million tons of food loss every year. Japan is in the upwards of almost 10 million tons a year. You know, other markets are Korea and other developed markets in Asia are about the same amount. So these are sort of the low-hanging fruits we want to go after because our mission is to reduce 1% of the global food loss by 2030. And so big mature markets like Japan, it's a perfect platform, you know, for us to not only utilize our technology, but also spread our message on sustainability. And especially during COVID-19, we see a huge disruption on the global supply chain. And even before that, with the trade war tension, that was already happening. But COVID really has accelerated that disruption through this pandemic. And it is, you know, it is a systematic risk. And therefore, we wanted to create a model that is sustainable, that is circular, and that is really enclosed. And so, you know, so why not take the food loss that's generated from this market, upcycle that into something else? It's great for the environment. We don't have to depend on the supply chain, and it's a win-win for everyone. So that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, great. There is a problem. I don't know if this is the same in Singapore, but with bakeries in Japan, I notice on the website you say animal friendly, so it's vegetarian. But a lot of the bakeries in Japan use a lot of butter and milk, and it's not vegan. So it'd be hard to say it was vegan. But there are two bakeries who I've talked to in the series. Lee's Bread, she's in Kanagawa in Oiso, and she can make some like European style breads, which it looks like you're using. And also in Hiroshima is Oheso Bread, and he also does vegan European style breads. So I think the standard in Europe and probably America for the harder breads, the crustier breads, that's usual. But in Japan, these breads seem a little bit more unusual, a bit harder to find. Have you found that?
Yes and no. Usually, I go to supermarkets here in Japan. I see white bread without the crust, and I'm always wondering where does that crust go? It's all nice looking and tasty without the brown part, and that in itself is a huge amount of surplus that we can work with already. Because one bottle of beer, we only use about one piece, one slice of bread. So it doesn't take a whole lot. And the other thing is, we are working on other technologies in to remove these lipids out of the content. So we're working with different enzymes, working with different yeast fermentation technologies. We're looking at encapsulation technologies, so we're continuing our innovation on R&D to see what else we can do to tackle these materials. And it's not just the craft beer we're coming out with. Next month we're coming out with our next category of technology, which is called CROP, a CROP. And that's going to be a carbonated drink with surplus fruits and vegetables. And we're going to add a little bit of something in there to increase the immunity of everyone to fight COVID-19. So that category is very much food as medicine that we're going after.
So is that like a kombucha type fermented drink?
It is one of the possible products that could come out of that technology. We are really a B2B player. What we do is we license out our technology, and we don't put our label on the front of the bottle. We let our customers, for example, in Singapore, we have Tiong Bahru Bakery store, we have Marina Bay Sands Hotel. We let them put their label on the front, but it's powered by crust. And so what we're doing is we empower our customers to own the food loss and allow them to have a sustainable story to tell their customers through our technology.
So in terms of working and collaborating with, you mentioned hotels and restaurants and bakeries and finding places that kind of want to make their own craft beer using the crust model, right? So as you said, you might have a bakery signature craft beer made from their leftover breads. That's a great concept. That's a great idea. And it's been quite successful in Singapore, it seems, right?
Yeah, because we empower them to monetize on the food loss, right? What I was saying is, instead of paying people to get rid of your food loss, now the value proposition is you can monetize on that food loss. Why not do that? And so when we approach customers, they all feel very excited about what we're doing. I think food safety, food security, it's a huge issue. I mean, there's with COVID-19, it really, you know, it really kind of put us in a really good position right now. You know, we got a tailwind behind us. You know, so I think, yeah, this is a great market, and we would like to get as many people to join us as possible, because you know, 1%, reducing 1% of global food loss, I think it takes more than one player. And so we need to get as many people on board with us as possible.
Sure, that's a huge, and that's a huge goal. That you need a lot of collaborators to reach that goal, I think. Molly says, I don't think that bread without crust should be called bread. Yeah, I agree. But a lot of bread in Japan, like Oheso's baker, he says, a lot of bakeries in Japan, it's like only dessert bread. Like, it's not real bread. It needs crust, right? So I'm glad you guys are collaborating with real bread makers. Yeah.
and, you know, it's not just the bakery stores. We're working with food companies as well. You know, people like Kellogg, they waste about 2 to 3 tons of cereals and potato chips every month. And so we're working with them to find a solution with those cereals and potato chips coming off their factory, to upcycle that into something else.
Yeah, great initiative. And then one of yours is called Mango. Is that working with like disused mango or fruit as well?
Correct, yeah. So we have a mango-infused craft beer that came out last year. For the Halloween season, we're coming out with a pumpkin flavor craft beer that we're partnering up with the salad store in Singapore. You know, and we are also working with companies like Dole to experiment in their mangoes, bananas, and papayas. So the list goes on and on. And in Japan, you know, our technology will also reflect on the local surplus ingredients here, which is rice. You know, we've spoken to people in the 7-Eleven. They throw a lot of the onigiri every day. And so, you know, we wanted to empower them with technology that would allow them to upcycle that rice into something else. And it's not just with the stores, but also with the farmers. You know, we want to work with the farmers. There's a lot of ugly fruits out there that doesn't get their, you know, their light in the day on the shelf of the supermarket space. So, you know, we want to and we can work with those ingredients. And in fact, you know, we're planning a sustainable dinner event in Tokyo the first week of December, using surplus ingredients, ugly fruits and vegetables. We're going to team up with the chef to create a 5-course dinner to showcase people, you know, what we could do with these ingredients. Doesn't matter how they look, as long as they're tasty, healthy on the plate. You know, we put a white tablecloth on top of that, you know, and I think it's something we want to kind of remove the stigma from and the perception from only working with good looking ones, because I think there is so much more we can do. And with the food scarcity, you know, we can't afford to be in a position where we're wasting a third of the food that we produce while 800 million people go hungry every night. Now that, to me, it's a very powerful message that we have to do something. We have to consume within our own mean, and we have to maximize the resources that we got. So hopefully through
have,
this.
Have you guys collaborated with Second Harvest at all in Tokyo? And they collect food that's still good and get it to people who are food insecure, like homeless people, or it would be great to see you guys collaborate with them. Also, you must have some waste food on your end after making. Do you donate it to farmers and they can use as compost or something? That would also be a great initiative, right?
Well, that's something that we're working on right now. We're also working on our own byproduct waste. And we now have the technology to upcycle that into flour that can use for pancake or even waffles. So really creating a circular economy. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there are other technologies that we are working on right now that would turn these byproduct waste into sustainable packaging to replace plastics. I had a great meeting with one of the large breweries companies in Japan, and they really want to work on their byproduct waste into a sustainable packaging material.
Nice.
So that is something we definitely are looking at.
That's great. I have visited the Zero Waste town of Kamikatsu in Tokushima a few times, and they have two fantastic breweries there, craft beer, Rise and Win company. And they encourage people to bring their own container to fill up on the beer to reduce waste. They also use local citrus peels inside their beer. So I think, if you also collaborate with other breweries like them who are very sustainability focused, that would be a great, great way to kind of spread your awareness of your brand around the sustainability focused market, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, we're trying to get as many people to join us on this journey as possible, because there's so much food loss out there, and there's only so much we could do. So the only way to scale this is really working with good partners, like-minded folks to spread the message and get on the bandwagon with us.
That's awesome. In the picture, using the stale breads, it looks like you guys are using a lot of paper instead of plastic. Are there any other initiatives you're trying to use in operations to be more sustainable?
Definitely. On the packaging itself, we would much rather work with can packaging instead of bottles. That is a more environmentally friendly packaging that we are working with. For any of our contract manufacturing that we work with, any of the breweries that we would work with, we have sort of a checklist for them on their sustainability and existing operation. Because we go into this game for long term, and we want to work with people, I think, will share the same vision with us. We usually ask them to kind of go through that list, check the ones that are relevant for them, what types of packaging are they doing, how are they upcycling their existing water, what are they doing to reduce their carbon footprint, some of these things that we just kind of want to put it out there and make sure people are aware of. Definitely it is something we do.
That's great. I noticed Dave in Osaka has just joined. Dave in Osaka has a huge following on Periscope, and he's in Osaka, and you're in Osaka. So I would love to see you guys collaborate. Maybe he can help you promote the work that you're doing there.
That would be great. Yeah, I'll be more than happy to connect with anyone in Japan.
That's awesome. Are you guys based anywhere else around Japan, or you're starting operations or starting in Osaka?
Well, we are actually the company is set up, going to be set up in Tokyo. And we do have two staffs in Tokyo. I'm here in Kansai because we have a live project happening. Hopefully you're going to get into production next month. We intend to kind of spread our wings across Japan, and not only Tokyo, not only Kansai, but Kyushu and other areas. We even have people reached out from Okinawa a couple of days ago. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. We have a question from Joan Bailey. She's a writer for Japan Times. How did you develop that list? You may have covered this already. Sorry, tuning in late. So a list of collaborators, maybe? I'm not sure what list you're talking about, Joan. Can you clarify? how are you finding out places to collaborate with?
Well, I mean, I guess maybe she meant the list that we have for the partners that we work with.
Okay.
If that is the case, we ourselves are going through a B Corp certification right now under review, because we definitely want to get on, you know, be a B Corp certified company. You know, like I said, we are driving profit with a purpose, and we think that it's very critical that we don't compromise our environment and sustainability with profit. In fact, it's essential that we put our environment and sustainability at the forefront in order to drive profit. And that's really the core of, you know, the cornerstone of our business here. And so that list really kind of reflects the B Corp assessment questionnaire that we had to go through. Questions like gender inequality, that how many people, how many male and females do you have in your organization, and of those that ratio, how many females are actually sitting on the board or C-suite. And we are making those conscious decisions to make sure that we are achieving 6 out of 17 SDG goals.
That's awesome.
Obviously, number 2 is zero hunger. That's what we're doing. Number 4 is the reduction of gender inequality. And that's why we have a female co-founder who joins us.
Which is so unusual for craft beer companies. Usually it's all men, right? I've never seen craft beer companies with women at the top. So that's awesome.
That's why for us, we're not a brewing company. You know, we're very much an R&D food tech platform that upcycles surplus ingredients.
Nice.
You know, so we're an R&D company. We're not a brewing. We started as a brewing company to validate our technology of what we can do. Because if we go to our customers and say, we have this beautiful technology that we can upcycle your surplus ingredients, they're going to be looking at us and say, well, I can't see any tangible products.
Yeah. Does it actually work, right?
Yeah, exactly. what does it look like? And so with food, you always have to use your 5 senses. And so the best way to kind of present our technology is through our craft beer, and that is, you know, you can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can taste it. You know, you're using all 5 senses, and obviously with the quality of beer we generate, it's an easy sell. And so I think that's kind of where we said that. Well, we're not a brewing company, because we're an R&D company. We want to identify, and our customers in Singapore right now are millennials. 70% of them are females. So we want to identify with our external audience. And how do we do that? You know, we want to bring someone that is influential, that has a voting power in our C-suite, to be able to kind of identify with our external stakeholders.
And that's awesome.
That's very important.
Can I say Lee Utsumi, who runs Lee's Bread, which is an awesome bakery in Kanagawa, she said, just wanted to say hi. She would love to collaborate. So hopefully you guys can get in touch.
Please. Please go to our website. It's crustbrewing.com. And if not, I'll leave my details after.
Yeah, and we can add them below. I know you have to go in a minute. Thank you so much for joining us and talking all about your company. And we wish you all the best. You're just getting started in Japan, but seems like a really exciting initiative and so much potential in so many different areas, not just about brewing beer, but about reducing food waste and encouraging sustainability in so many ways. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And, you know, we'll keep you guys posted on our progress here in Japan. We're going to work with local governments here. We're going to work with different types of ingredients going forward. It's not just bread. It's not just rice. You know, we're going to, people have thrown seaweed at us, sugar cane. You know, they're telling us to use our technology to see what we can do with those. And I think, you know, with those types of ingredients, it may not always be a full application on the other end. You know, it can, you know, the other thing that's really driving us right now is also how do we come up with a sustainable material to replace plastics, because a lot of these items have high fiber and high protein content. And so those are the ingredients that we can really extrapolate and make it into, you know, t-shirts or textiles or you know, things
that
can we. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so that's kind of the sort of the step two. Now that we are working, we're sort of the impossible food in the beverage space. Now we're going to kind of look at the next milestone. So yeah, please stay tuned and please get in touch.
Yeah,
I would love to find a way and we can have a chat over our Crust beer.
That's awesome. So if you're interested in getting in touch with Crust, and please do, you can reach Jim on LinkedIn, which the link should be below. You guys are also on Instagram, and are you on Facebook as well?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, and then the website. One more time, the website address?
It's Crust Brewing, C-R-U-S-T, Brewing, BREWING.com.
Awesome. And yeah, lots of luck. Really exciting. And I look forward to hearing your updates and seeing what you guys are doing next.
Thank you very much.
When Thank you so much.
When we get our production going, I'll send you a couple bottles over.
Oh yeah, please. I'll give you my address right now. That's awesome. Thanks so much, Jim. Thanks everybody for joining. Today was a short episode, but I hope you enjoyed it. Take care. Have a great weekend and see you next week. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.